So hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Deep Dive with Otelli and myself, Stephen. Today we're talking about AI, or rather the use of AI when it comes to doing your homework. Mm-hmm. Are you an AI fan? Do you use it for work? Not homework, but work.
Okay, who doesn't use it nowadays? Unless you are like living under a rock, but everyone uses, you know, large language models to a certain extent, right? To improve our writing. I mean, in our line of work, we use it to, you know, sort of like refine the original sentences that I came up with.
I like this term that I came across. It says to basically to learn and to work efficiently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, it helps me do what I do better.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can imagine a lot of students, you know, or from the high institutes of learning, they're also doing that. And as a matter of fact, recently, right, there was this issue that blew up in the news. It's when NTU accused three students from the School of Social Sciences of academic fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, very harsh term, you think about it, saying that they basically use generative AI tools in their assignments and were given zero marks for that.
Yeah, zero marks. That's a big blow.
Yeah.
Of course, the students are upset with that and they're fighting back. They're asking the university to justify why they're doing that, you know, and trying to understand just, well, where do you draw the line? When is it okay? And when is it not okay? Especially when it comes to students who are still in school.
Let's just start off with a very big picture question, right? Help us understand, how is AI being used both by teachers and schools? So Jeremy, from a student's point of view, because you just graduated, right, last year?
Oh, true. So when it comes to the students, how they actually use it, they use it for quite a wide range of things, right? There is the obvious writing my essays, doing my homework. That's a very, very standard use case. We've had it since years ago, even before ChatGPT, because we had, for example, GPT-3 original models, 2, which were all pretty good autocomplete models. These were used by different students to, for example, write their essays or kind of refine certain sentences.
Okay.
And then right now, people are using it for more creative things. So things like research, they're able to kind of trigger an AI, have it go online, search for a bunch of different information, pull it together, synthesize it, and then eventually create some sort of report. And so they don't need to do like all these work anymore, right? That's a big part. I think specifically for me, what I've seen is because more from the creative side. So in, for example, media school, people are using it in art. People are using it to actually edit. So people are using it in many different ways, which are not conventionally, I think, what most people think of when they think of AI in the academic sense. It's always just reports and essays.
Okay. Ben, I'll ask you. So at the university, again, you know, you are facing this. Many students will also be using AI. And AI is, of course, a lot better now. It can literally write the essay for you.
Yep.
So at which point do you say, okay, that's all right? And which point do you say, nah?
Yeah, why do you say this is original and this is kind of fake? Is it very clear to the lecturers, the teachers who are marking the papers?
Okay, so I think it's a complex question, right? Really depends on the discipline that, you know, that we're dealing with. So I teach computer science and mostly programming. So in programming, you know, you write code. And I think my colleagues who have students write essays, they have a different kind of requirement. It may be harder for us to detect plagiarism for coding.
Okay.
Because the fact is that AI is really good at generating good code, and the code looks kind of like standard. Okay, in the past, can be fair, right? Plagiarism is not a new thing.
Universities that use these AI detectors, right, like Turnitin and all that, does that detect like the code?
So the truth is that we have had very good AI code plagiarism detectors in the past before AI, right? And the way, like, I was going to explain, ever since I started teaching, we have caught students cheating, right? Copying their friend's code.
Right.
And generally what happens is that we, you know, match the code, right? And they match. And we don't match. We catch them because they write bad code.
Okay.
Not because they write good code. I mean, write good code, you have two clever people writing good code and look the same. It's actually, there's some standard ways of writing code.
Right.
So the general way to catch people writing, copying code is that they have a friend who writes bad code and wrong code. And you have the same mistake, right? And the best part is, it came from somewhere that you don't know where it came from, right? So there's no way to kind of prove that. In fact, no easy way to prove.
Because code is code. 2 + 2 = 4. So when you write good code is good code. As in, it should all look pretty much the same, right?
Correct. I mean, so there are many ways to do the same thing. You're right. There's a certain style that constitutes good code.
Right. My question then becomes, what's wrong with that? Because they're getting you the result that they need. And in the future, when they work, why would they bother going through it themselves when they can use the AI to write it?
That's an excellent question, right? So then you need to understand what we're doing in school here, right? There are two things that we are trying to do. Number one is that we're trying to help the students learn something. Okay? And let me be blunt. I mean, homework is there for a reason, right? I mean, if I give you homework, frankly, it's going to cost us work, right? Because someone has to grade it. Of course, you can outsource to AI. But frankly, you know, if we don't, you know, give issue homework, then we do less.
But the homework is there to test something.
No. There are these things called formative assessments.
Right.
And there are these things called summative assessments. So formative assessments is to help you learn something. Mm-hmm. So you're going through the you know, struggle to learn the stuff, right?
Right.
Now, so the problem with AI in this regard is that it allows the students to kind of like avoid this struggle.
Learning.
Right. And they avoid learning, correct? I mean, so frankly, if I give you a question.
Okay. So they get AI, the result without the learning process.
And so they're not, at some level, they are shortchanging themselves because their parents paid good money for them to come to university and get cleverer, right? Right. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, there's also a very important aspect of this assessment thing, which is that there's this thing called a summative assessment. Because ultimately, these kids graduate.
Yeah. Okay.
And need to get jobs. Okay. So let me ask a question, right? If there's no reason for us to give there's first class honors, there's second class, and so forth, we actually have a role in society, right? To sort of like grade the students, right? So that employers have an easier time with the hiring, right? So if everybody gets an A, then I mean, it's debatable whether or not this is still a kind of function of the university, but I'm certain that if we give every student A's, I think the employers will not be happy.
Yeah.
And there's some harm that's done.
You see, okay, the whole process, as you mentioned, is for the student to go through the learning journey.
Correct.
So that when they face other situations in the real world that AI maybe hasn't encountered yet, then they can help solve it. So you're teaching them how to think,
correct?
But now with the AI doing everything for them, they miss out on that step.
But I've got a question as well, that a lot of people are turning to your large language models to learn stuff. Let's say you go into like GPT or Gemini and whatnot. As you are learning stuff, right, it picks up your learning style. It becomes individualized, so to speak. So then does that mean that teachers become... The role of a teacher becomes, will teachers be left behind, I'm trying to say, because
they have customized
style,
learning.
Yeah, exactly. They're already used to learning from GPT. So when the teacher is trying to teach them, it becomes increasingly difficult for teachers to teach students.
That's almost like having tuition, right? Because no point learning at school. I just have my private tutor at home to teach me.
Yeah, so...
When it comes to this, I think that there are a few points, right? So the personalized learning pathway is always going to be better than the generalized one. Because it's going to be a better fit. I'm not sure how much you agree with that, but what we've seen is that motivated individuals who are trying to pick up some new skills, or they're trying to accomplish a task, or if they're even trying to do less work in school, they will turn to these AI models. And so you mentioned large language models, there are all sorts of different models. They will turn to these tools to try and accomplish their task. Now, the thing is, I think many people think that just because you use AI, you know, people become dumber, people don't think about it anymore, people don't work through
problems. And actually, I'm seeing Reddit, students are saying that it's rare nowadays to see people think on their own because they're sending their assignments to GPT first before even thinking.
Yes, so the devil's in the details. How are they sending it in, right? So the degree of specificity that you would need to include in a prompt in an instruction requires that you identify your own thinking and label and actually describe step by step exactly how you would go about attacking this task. So if I were to just tell GPT, write this essay for me, you're not going to get that good of an essay. If you say write in the style of, you know, so-and-so, it does a little better.
Mm.
If I wanted to think really in-depth, you know, go through this point, articulate this particular argument, quote an example here, and make sure it makes sense in the grand scheme of things, and then go step by step, you end up with these prompts that are pretty normal, I think, in industry to write 3-4 paragraphs.
So it's just about asking the right questions,
It's always asking the right questions.
Are you actually learning anything, though?
I think you are. So it's like having, when we first had Google as a resource, how do you use it? And use it effectively, right? So you can use it the wrong way, you can use it the right way. Same thing with the AI. You can use it to make whatever you're doing better and to learn more and understand better, or you can just be lazy and just chuck it the whole problem and let it do everything for you. But I guess the question is, how are you using the AI? And at which point can you say it's okay to use it this way, but it's not okay to use it that way?
Yeah, how do we differentiate misuse and misjudgment?
I think the two things I mentioned that matter, right? Number one is the learning. Number two is the fairness, right? Because the trouble now is if some students use AI and they get better grade than other students who don't use AI, it's not unfair. The problem here is that there's a class where the prof has said that you shall not use AI.
Okay.
So you have people who are, this man looks like he's an honest man, right? I'm wrong, right? But suppose if an honest man, right? And if it's a dishonest man, and the dishonest one actually, you know, gets a better grade, then there's something wrong, right? Because then we have a society which actually you know, rewards people who are dishonest. Is that something you want in Singapore?
Is that the fault also of the way they're being tested? The professor may be a bit naive to say you cannot use AI in this day and age. You know what I mean?
Okay, let's set it aside. But I think if you ask me what is the issue here, it is an issue of fairness. Okay,
yeah.
So to address this issue of fairness, if the professor says you can't use AI, people should not use AI, right?
Okay.
Now, in a case where my prof says that I don't care, y'all use AI, then you'll go ahead. But the trouble will be the problem, right? Which is that then, what's the whole point, right? Because you get pretty much the same thing. And worse still, you know, there are different models, the paid models, the unpaid models.
Sure.
And suppose this guy is rich, right? He buys and he may get an unfair advantage again.
We could argue the kids who have tuition versus those who do not also have an unfair advantage, right?
That's true. But I think
that's the way the real world works, right?
That's how far you want to buy, you know, to bring that. But ultimately, there is an issue of fairness.
Can I just add something about the fairness point? In that case, is it even a good proxy of the real world? Because the real world is not really fair. You know, people have to learn. I think the whole point of having the school and having that environment is it's a simulated, almost a one-to-one mimic of the real world, and it trains them to operate in the real world. So does it help them learn in that case?
That's an excellent philosophical question. But to address these two issues. The first issue is this, right? Which is that the learning part, I think the learning part is real. There are students that are really not getting, what I'm seeing, okay, again, this is not scientific. I actually put up some of the grant to learn to study this thing more carefully. But based on what I'm seeing on the ground today, there's a small group of students, okay, who are using AI very effectively. They are actually moving ahead faster, better than before. Okay, so you compare them today, the same students, to those of the past. These guys are doing better. And there's the rest.
Yep.
I really think the rest are actually getting dumber. I don't know what
so you're saying. So you're saying dumber for not using...
No, because they use AI. They are actually not smart. Okay,
okay, so you're saying that because they have lost their authenticity, their creative juices, they're counting on... Right.
They're using their muscle.
So this is the part where we're just saying, so do I get this project and just chuck the whole thing to AI and say, give me an answer? Or do I understand the project, understand what are the 5 tools I need, then go to AI and say, help me figure out what are these 5 tools? So there are different ways of using AI,
that's not how the human psychology works. That's not how the kids think, right? So what I'm telling you on the ground is that there's a small group, and they are actually moving ahead, right? And actually, to be honest, we don't fully understand how the kids are using AI today, because it's quite new.
Sure.
Like 2 years, okay? We don't watch over them 24/7, right?
But then the question becomes, are we then testing the students the wrong way? Should we also evolve in the, you know, how we analyze and
evaluate?
Yeah,
maybe more face-to-face sort of discussion about a certain topic or...
Yeah, there are two kinds of disciplines. There's the mind kind of disciplines and there's the poor humanities people.
Yeah.
The difference is this. And what do? We lock them in exam hall, we lock them in a lab. But I do have some colleagues who are in humanities whereby the grading is all done by essays. They are struggling. And I feel bad because I don't really have a good solution for them. Because
and you were in humanities, right?
Yes, I was. I've been operating in tech for 5 years now. But
so do you discuss among your friends, okay, what is the best way, you know, to go around this problem, to ask these large language models? How can we sort of get around the system? I mean,
It's interesting you bring that up because I think many people now use the conversational models as almost that partner. So instead of asking friends, they just ask
their
companion
the
models will probably answer better. Mm. I think on the point of essentially essays being a poor measure, it's a horrible measure. Essays are the new MCQs because what we learned about language from all the years of research in AI is basically that language, given the roles, given the syntax, given the semantics, the meaning of each word, if you just apply a few rules and you keep in mind all the exceptions, you can algorithmically generate anything you want. And that's what all these models do. So it's basically standardized testing. It just doesn't look like standardized testing when you give an essay. 100% agree. It's horrible to test it that way.
So I know you're not really in the humanities because that's where it seems like it's questionable. A very gray area, you see. So therefore, I mean, can we come to the conclusion that something has to change where it becomes clear? Because right now, if you ask a lot of students, right, it's not clear what exactly is the demarcation, you know, like, can I use AI? I can use AI, but to what extent? You know, how do I know? And now there's a lot of anxiety among the students as well because, I don't want to... Yeah.
I know people that don't use AI because they're scared that...
They're scared.
The way it doesn't make sense.
I think that's wrong because these are the real world resources. They're available to everyone. Why are we saying don't use it? But in the real world, I'm going
to
use it,
But do you want to be labeled, risk being labeled an academic fraud? Because I wouldn't want that.
That's where I think, that's where the school, in a sense, has failed to evolve and adapt to what is happening in the real world.
Or maybe they're not catching up fast enough.
Can I try to address that point, yeah. right? So I think I've explained to you the two concerns we have in school, right? But the problem is this, right? We've always had this complaint from the students that, like I said, we lock them up in the yeah. lab, yeah, right? They do, to do yes. a coding exam, right? They're like, what the heck for? I mean, what, you know, in real life, I get to go to GitHub and then I copy people's code and then I'm better, yeah. right? Okay, so that's a very good, right? Now, but you see, the whole point of school, actually, is that we are trying to train them to learn some things, okay? And I don't know why people think that coding is easy, but I must tell you, it is not that easy, okay? Yeah. And the fact is this, I actually don't use AI because sadly, AI doesn't write as well as I can write, and AI does not write
okay,
code.
There you go.
Doesn't write code the way I can write code either, right? So, so for coding, actually, sometimes I might use AI because it's just convenient, because the truth is that we are trying to teach the students to a certain level, okay? And the AI today, while it may seem like magical to many people, they are doing things at a relatively competent but not expert level. Yeah. Okay. But the challenge is this, right? If the students today never even reach that level of minimal level competency, they will never cross the chasm. Okay. So you can think of this curve, right? There's this like big bulk of people, that then there's AI, and then there's this experts. I call this AI chasm of death. So if they're not able to bring their skill level to this level, they will never cross over to become experts. And that's where the money is. That's where the jobs
are. So in other words, you're saying they need to have a good foundation of that learning first before, so that they can evolve later. But then I will also argue, like mathematics, we learn about, I don't know, simultaneous equations and all that. I used to tease my uncle as a math professor. I say, what for? At the end of the day, all I need to know is if I give $10 at a hawker center, I get back $5 change when I buy my nasi lemak. The rest, I mean, and I have a calculator, I have a computer, so I don't need those steps involved, right? So in a way, that foundation, yes, some of it is lost, but some would argue that some of it is not needed in this day and age.
And I used to learn chemistry. I could do all the organic chemistry reactions.
So isn't that what AI is doing too?
No, time out. But you must understand what we're doing in school, right? Okay, so I would tell, I'm actually a teacher of teachers. So my students are actually MOE teachers. Yeah. So I tell them, actually, you can teach them anything you want, right? Because the fact is that they are not in K-12 to learn simultaneous equations. They're not there to learn, benzene rings, how to react with each other. Right. They are there to learn how to learn. That's the key. And that's what we need in life. Right. So the fact is that, let me address this question, which I tried to address, which is that why don't we let the kids do what they would have done in real life?
Yeah.
Okay. That means you're saying that, when they grow up, they can just, use GPT to write essays for them. Yeah. That the reason is very simple. It's because we are trying to get them to reach a certain level of mastery so that, I must admit, every math prof hopes that the kids will become math profs, and then the computer scientist wants the kids to become grow up to be good programmers, right? So we are trying in good faith to help our students acquire the skills to become masters in this.
I agree with you, right? We should be doing that, but maybe we need to be doing it a different way now that the tools have changed.
No, there's no difference, because
difference though?
The learning is in your head. Let me explain to you what the difference is. Now the problem, so first of all, I want to make a very bold claim. There are no revolutions in education. But 10, 15 years ago, there's the MOOCs, right? It came out and said, you're going to change the world, and I'll be out of job. Last checked, I just had 800 students last semester. It's not going to happen. And I tell you why. Because actually, the business of education and teaching is not about communicating knowledge. Mm-hmm. We are in the business of managing motivation.
Okay, so can I ask you, with large language models, you said your job is to motivate the kids, right?
In general, yeah.
In general, with LLMs, would you say the motivation has gone up or gone down?
Okay, so that's the problem. So that's why I was also telling my students who are not teachers that actually the trouble is that we may think that we are, after 20 years, we're good teachers. Yeah, maybe we have certain skills. The trouble is that the clientele has changed. The kids have evolved, and what has happened over the last 20 years, mobile phones, social media, COVID actually also impacted the kids a lot. Now the people are reverting, right? And now today we have LLMs. So, and then the internet also affected everything.
And that will keep changing. So you, as a recent student, just graduated, I mean, do you agree with what Ben's saying?
I think for the most part, it's probably correct. But
probably
correct. But the implications of that, if we really go with the implications of that, and I agree, you're in the business of motivation. I think it's quite telling, because what it means, if you extrapolate it out, is that students who are not motivated in the first place, they're gonna go to school, they're not gonna be motivated.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be the same thing. You're just keeping the same student, not motivated, and then giving them a bad score. So like that's the value for those people, which is the majority of the people who we are saying are not at that mastery. They're not at that level where they've passed the curve. And then for the other people, they're going in and getting this validation. So the value, I don't see it basically in this case.
So Jeremy, quick question here. If you have to teach aspiring students who want to ace their exams how to use AI, right? What would you say to them?
I think one of the things is I believe people are quite output focused, especially in today's world. So you can see this, people want instant results, and then after that, they want to know how to replicate those instant results. It's very easy to hook people in if you show them that this is the output you could get, and you just kind of need to figure out what's the secret sauce, what are the inputs that leads to this output. So I think actually one of the interesting things is with AI, I have started touching on a lot of topics which previously I wouldn't have. Because AI, when I ask, for example, ChatGPT, currently I'm using Claude, I'm using Gemini, some other tools as well, it starts telling me at a very high level, this is how it works, this is how it works. It condenses the information down to a five-year-old level. Then I say, okay, cool. Now let's elaborate, let's go into this particular topic, let's dive even deeper. And so at all of these levels, I think my motivation constantly increases a little bit. And there's this compounding effect rather than, I think what's more common in a lot of educational institutions is they start off kind of giving you the A, B's and C's, but you don't see that you're going to write an essay. So you don't see the story, you don't see where the final outcome really is going to be. And I think all throughout, it's just kind of this hazy black box. Students are not that motivated, partly because the methodology is not there.
But you also see students, like, obviously abusing it, right? Was it a UCLA graduate we saw? You know, he went viral because he posted, like, he showed he was, you know, using... Yeah, ChatGPT, and he's graduated.
But there will always be those who abuse the system. Should we, you know... stop and eliminate and create all these barriers to entry just because a small handful of people abuse the system?
I think all systems are capable.
Right?
So then is that where, again, the institutions need to again set a clearer, you know, defined lines, like, again, how to use what and what to use?
I think, to be fair to universities, right, it's only been 2 years now. You know, it's not been that... Okay, it may seem like a lifetime that LLMs have been around, things evolve, move not so quickly, right? And to be honest, we are also not completely, like I said, as I admitted, right, we're not completely sure what the students are doing today, how they're using it. And that's part of the learning process. So I think that the thing about fraud, like I said, the whole system about fraud is really about rules. I mean, the prof, okay, whoever's the instructor, has the right to set the rules, right? And the real question here is not whether you agree with the rules or not, right? It's if the rule is broken, What should be our response, right? I mean, okay, you sound like anarchists. Yeah. Like, wow, okay.
Well, are we just training students to be slaves?
No, that's not the point.
Yeah, so you say, this is my class, this is what we're going to learn. You are not allowed to use, for example, you're not allowed to use a calculator for this math equation, whatever, right?
But you make it clear,
if
right?
You make it clear. They make it clear. If you agree to sign up for the course, you play by these rules.
I think they did make it clear, right?
Okay.
And it's on that basis that they sort of prosecute and...
It didn't seem like it's clear because it's still in limbo. I mean, it's been... Yeah, it's pending, you see. So if it's so straightforward...
Why don't you just let NTU, the news panel, do their work, right?
So that would be the question. Just what is clear and what isn't clear? As they go through it, they will then have to further elaborate and then seek clarity.
And even if it's not clear, I think it need to be fair to the instructors because this is a brave new world we are entering. And also many of them are also struggling to cope. Many of them are, I mean, many of us, I think, are ill-equipped to
centers can do it really well. Because we service some other tuition centers. I have friends doing personal tuition. I know other business owners who own tuition centers. Mm-hmm. Their teachers, they're kind of forcing it down on them and saying, okay, this is our business. We're at stake. If we don't adapt, we're going to die. So I'm going to give you guys a suite of new tools.
Yep.
Learn how to use and teach your students with it. They seem to be adapting fine.
So you're saying that the tuition centers are teaching the students how to use AI?
No, I mean, they are using AI and then they understand that the students will use it as well. So the way they come up, kind of ideas and the methods of verification, whether the work is good and whether their thinking is solid, they're coming up with brand new ways.
It's like here at the company, they say, we have this new system for operating your leave and all that. Use it or you can't take leave. So I learned how to use it real quick, right? But his argument being that, We can force this change to be faster. And it feels to a certain extent that some of our educational institutions may be struggling to keep up with the rapid pace of change. Would you agree with that?
I think we need to go back to what is our role in society, right? Okay, and I'm a little bit idealistic. I think our role is to help our students learn better, okay? And this thing about learning stuff, right? So the fact is this, you're right. You are complaining about learning simultaneous equations. Okay, mm. The fact is that many of the things they learn in college actually don't even care about. Okay, but it's part of the process. It's good to know more things. But if they're going to be a lawyer, they're going to be a doctor, you know, you better learn it well, right? Because if not, we're going to die, right? You know, and as a software engineer, they need to learn the craft very well. So for that, in terms of learning, for the things that matter, then I think we need to do what is important, what is right. Okay, and let me just tell you what I tell my students and I tell my teachers, tell their students, right? Which is a very simple argument, which is the following, right? They're here in school to learn something, and their parents paid good money for them to learn something. Okay, if it is quite clear that if they use AI to do something they cannot do, they will never be able to do it. Okay, they will never be able to do it. Now, on the other hand, if they can do it already, and then, you know, if they use AI to do it, they save some time, they can go home, go and date a cute girl, and please go do it.
But if I see my other friends, they're using this ChatGPT and they're scoring with higher marks than
me. Also want random
but then
class.
You're saying good luck to this person, because if he gets into the real world, maybe they won't be able to think as...
So I think what you're going at is that along the way, we may be losing some of that learning experience. They may not be learning how to think, how to analyze. Yeah. You now have a device or AI to do it for you. So
at the end of the day, I do think that the people who actually put in the effort, right, will have a much better chance of surpassing that barrier, which is the AI barrier, and become experts.
So you are learning from the best, learning how he has learned how to use technology and teaching that to the next generation of students. Which also means being a bit more open to allowing the technology to come in. I don't think we're going to come to a clear black and white answer today. But I guess my view is that I think we need to evolve a bit more and to be a bit more open to the use of technology, and that we need to change our way of assessment to find what is the best in that person and to see whether they've actually learned how to figure it out.
I think that the truth is that the profs actually know their business. They know what they're trying to do, what they're trying to achieve for the students. And there is no one-size-fits-all kind of solution. And I hope you believe that NTU, NUS, all of us are trying to do our best, the right things for the students, right? So they don't punish students because it's fun to do, because they like the publicity like this. I mean, it's not something that they do because it's
I think that's why they're taking it seriously. They're still deliberating over the other
This shapes the next generation.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And then this is a learning platform for all of us, right? The students, the institutions, the lecturers, and hopefully from here on, you know, we'd be able to, or at least the students would have just a clearer... idea of like how do you make sure that you are learning it properly and not, I won't say not getting caught, but you know, you want to use
So you raise a good point. I think what I'm going to ask you is, so if I'm a student now, should I go and ask my professor, hey prof, so for this next project, can I use AI? What can I do? What can I do? Can I not do? And get those boundaries set up. Because as you mentioned, it's different for every subject, every different area.
I think I need to tell you what is available, what is allowable. Not you get.
No, correct. I come to my prof and I ask you, what can I use it for?
No.
What are you allowing me
to
use
it for? I think when I issue an assignment to you, I will tell you explicitly. Okay. That's more the right thing. And that's the approach that actually the school is proposing, which is that the profs figure it out and communicate this clearly. But like I said, be kind to the profs. I mean, we have students to deal with, you know, this is a new thing. It will take some time, I think, for you know, the vast majority to actually, you know, figure this out. But generally, I think the guidelines is that the school does ask that the instructors make explicit what is the AI policy, right? And generally, like I said, either you can use it, you cannot use it. If you can use it, normally you need to declare.
Okay. So at the end of the day, if it's clear... and everybody knows what is allowed, what is not allowed, then there's no argument.
No. Sorry, but right? The NTU case is not so simple. But the NTU case is that it's clear. Unfortunately, the students these days, they will try to wriggle their way around the rules that think it's clear.
Okay. I have no comment on that because we don't know the case well enough. I can't agree or disagree whether it's clear or not. So we will have to let it play out on its own and we will hear what the final outcome is.
But I'm sure we'll get there.
AI is here to stay and is a part of our lives, so there's no running away from it.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Deep Dive. Big thanks to Tiffany Ang, Junaini Johari, Joanne Chan, Saye Win, Ho Pei Ning, Shaza Dalila, Alison Jenner, and video by Marcus Ramos, Faith Ho, and Hanida Armin. Thank
you know,
so
the
much.
Team that's bigger, but one day we're going to take a video and show you everyone who's in the team, because you're probably thinking, who are these people?
Maybe next week.
Behind us, of course, with everything we do here is a big team effort. So thanks so much for joining us. Any comments, drop us a note. Love to hear from you. See you next week.